Well, good morning. Thank you for being here worshiping with us. Thank you for those tuning in online. If you have a copy of God's Word, turn with me to the Gospel of John, chapter 15, or turn on your phones and your Bible app and flip over to John 15, whatever method you're using. We're in a sermon series formerly known as the Expectations of the Church. Informally, it's called We Need a Break from 1 Peter. Whatever sermon series you find you're in, today we're in the Gospel of John, chapter 15. We want to talk about serving. Last week we talked about growing as the believer, and we want you to grow, and we also want you to serve. It's not complete growing where you're getting poured into. We want you to be poured into. We want you to worship, to grow in your faith, but we also have the biblical expectation for every member of the body of Christ to serve. Now, John chapter 15, for those that know the text, you say, Pastor, that's not about serving. That's about abiding. We'll get to that. I believe the root cause of people not serving because they're not abiding. For those that are abiding, service is the overflow of your relationship. Now, abiding and serving are not exclusively synonymous, but I believe they're intrinsically linked together, that as you abide in Christ, so you too will serve the Lord Jesus. I want to prove that through Scripture. I want to explain that. So John chapter 15, let's get to verse number 1. We'll read through verse number 8. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I've spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I'm the vine, and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. This section of the gospel is sometimes referred to as the heart of Christ, where Jesus really explains who he is and says, come and learn of me, I'm meek and lowly. And when we say abiding in Christ in this passage in its totality, it does not mean be happy in Jesus and do nothing. That's not what abiding means. What does it mean? The root of service is found in abiding. He wants to unite with you. And I want to unpack the heart of Christ in these verses. The first way to explain the heart of Christ, to unpack the truth, is number one, to see the imagery of the vine and the branches. The picture that Jesus sets forth in an agrarian sense is the picture of a plant. So, mainly referring to grapes or olives, the fruit of the vine is not so much the way we're used to seeing agricultural here. But the picture of a plant, that Jesus is the vine, he is the root source, he's the stem, he's the true vine, he is the life. And we, his followers, are the branches, the offshoots of that plant. And in this, God the Father is the vine dresser, those who tend, the one that tends the vines, or we would even say he's the gardener. God wants us to consider ourselves in light of this imagery of the vine and the branches. Now, this is common to the original audience. They understood the picture he's setting forth. He says, I'm the vine, and you are the branches. So we all get that picture. The plant, the vine, the branches, all of this together in order to produce fruit. Not greenery. Not leaves that look oh so nice. Fruit. We want fruit. We don't want leaves, and we don't want weeds. The farmer, which I have family in the farming industry, we have a lot of friends that farm, they don't grow crops for show. What do they want? They want the produce. They want the wheat. They want the soybeans. They want the rice. They want the corn. They want some fruit of their labors. They want something to show for what they're doing. Verse 2 is very interesting. It says that those that don't produce fruit, those branches or those people that aren't producing the Christian fruit, are taken up or taken away. Now, someone say that means they're cast off, but the Greek word there is not that. It's arrow means to be lifted up or taken up. When Scripture says the Son of Man must be lifted up, speaking of the cross, the vines must be lifted up so they can produce fruit. God wants fruit from Christians that aren't producing. So you say, well, I don't do anything for Christ. Well, Christ wants you to be raised up, to take you off the ground, to put you up where you can produce fruit, get out of the moisture and the mildew. He wants you to produce some fruit. So if you don't produce fruit, God wants fruit, and he's going to take you up. He's going to do things in your life where you will produce fruit. And sometimes he brings circumstances in your life to increase your prayer life so you produce fruit. For those that are producing fruit, you say, whew, I'm off the hook, Pastor. Just say amen and let's be done. Not so fast. For those that are producing fruit, that are doing the works of Christ, that are lifting high the name of Jesus, he still wants fruit. You say, well, I'm producing fruit. Guess what? God wants more fruit. So he says the vine dresser is going to prune the vine, take things away. Some of that would be the discipline of God, the rebuke of the Lord in some ways, because he wants more fruit from your life. You say, well, Pastor, why in the world will God do that to me? I'm already serving him. I'm already doing this great deed in faith, because he wants something greater for you. You say, well, I'm already doing this, but God says, oh, if you knew what I knew, you could provide so much more. We want fruit. Branches produce fruit. I don't know a lot about growing plants, and I can be more free in second service because my wife is not here to look at me. She likes to plant items. I'm the hired hand. I dig the holes. I break the rocks. It's like I'm in prison. Don't tell her I use that analogy. We love to plant. For our anniversary this year, we treated ourselves to some trees. And I had to borrow equipment to dig holes for these trees. It turns out we're living on a rock pit and where we're at. There's nothing but rocks, but somehow, by the grace of God, those trees are still alive. About a year ago, we had the students of our church come to our property for a pumpkin carving night. And it sounds very lovely, but it absolute mess. I had a meeting that Sunday afternoon, and I came home. There's students all over my property. We had big high school guys riding my little 8-year-old's bike, and they broke it. One of them went into my shop, said, Pastor, I really like to drive your 4-wheeler. And I said, I don't trust you walking. There's no way I trust you on a vehicle. And they tried to keep the pumpkin carving in a general area, and they tried to be nice and neat with the emphasis on tried. It was an attempt that they failed. And there is just pumpkin mess everywhere. And I come home, and I'm like, what in the world? And someone, you know, just came up to me and said, Preacher, you're going to have pumpkins in about a year. And I said, at this point, I don't really care. But guess what? Came about a few weeks, a few months ago, some pumpkin plants. I mean, just massive. Now, I'm no pumpkin farmer, but we're in the business now. For weeks, I would go and look at these plants and find no fruit of the vine, no product. And so I knew I was going to preach John 15. I thought, I'm about to go and prune these jokers. If they're not producing, they're going to get cut. Thus saith the Lord, it's coming. And so finally we had a pumpkin. And we had massive vines everywhere, multiple plants. But one pumpkin. I thought, Annie, is this normal? I mean, shouldn't there be more fruit if there's all these signs of life? And every day I'd go out and check, and I think, I'm about to cut this. Someone after first service says, don't you ever do that to a pumpkin plant. I was like, well, I don't really know what I'm doing anyway. And so finally we see more and more fruit. Sometimes fruit takes time. So sometimes we have expectations that necessarily aren't God's, but the expectation of God and for us is we produce fruit. If that plant does not produce, it's worthless. There's no value. Now, we move that concept from the plant and place it upon us. Where's the fruit? Where's the product of Christ in our lives? Where's the fruit of the Spirit, like Galatians says? Where's the good works in Christ? Where's that holy lifestyle? Where's the fruit? You see, God has the expectation of fruit. No matter if you're producing now or not producing, God wants fruit and He wants more fruit. He wants something more for your life. It sounds like prosperity gospel, but God has something greater than what you know right now. He gives us this in the imagery of the vine. In John chapter 15, let's go to verses 4 and 5. Here is the application, here are the absolutes of the text. Jesus says, gives us the command, abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I'm the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. I want you to see the heart of Christ, not just as the imagery, but as the application. Number two, abiding as a blessing. The way he commands us, the way he tells us, invites us to abide in him. The command for the believer is to abide in Christ. Abide typically is used in the reference of a living, a dwelling place. It means to remain in a place. It means to stand fast, to dwell, to be in that spot. And so for the believer, it's to abide in Christ or with Christ. And with that promise, he says, if you abide in me, I will reside in you, with you. So if we're the branch, we're connected to Christ, the vine. And in that situation, and only that situation, can you produce fruit. If you're connected with Christ, you're going to have the fruit of the Spirit. It may not be easy. It may take time. In some ways, you're going to produce fruit in different ways than others. You're going to have good works because you're connected with Christ. You're going to have a different lifestyle than the world because you are connected to the vine. So you can't have fruit any other way. Only through Christ. You say, well, I'm going to do it myself. Guess what? We planted some plants on our anniversary, some trees. They're doing well. I also failed to mention we got some blueberry bushes. And we didn't, we want people to see the trees because it's going to look so pretty in the fall. And in certain windows, we'll be able to see these trees. The blueberry bushes, we stuck out back. Not good soil, not enough sunlight, not enough nourishment. So guess what happened to those blueberry bushes? Take a wild stab in the dark. They're dead. There's no fruit. They're doing terrible. Now, don't tell my wife I brought that up. We don't want to talk about that. There is going to be zero fruit from those plants because they don't have life. They're not connected. You cannot have the blessings and the fruit that can only come from God if you're doing it on your own power. Now, you can look good, like a plant. You may have some greenery, but God's not concerned with appearances. He wants fruit. He wants the work of the Spirit in your life. He wants you to serve. Without being linked to Christ, you cannot produce fruit. You can't live the Christian life. You can't be holy. So here's the main idea of the verses. The main idea is for you to abide with Christ. You say, Pastor, I thought you were going to talk about serving. The main idea is abiding. I should never expect you to serve if you're not abiding. If you don't have a relationship with Christ, something that's ongoing, you're not going to serve, or at least not long term. And if you do serve, you're not going to have fruit. See, the key is abiding. The main point is to have that relationship in place, you and God. One of my friends in the farming business, he had a property close to a lot of water sources. And so he devised a plan to pull the water off of fields, to push it somewhere else. So he bought equipment and he set it up on his property. And I happened to be close to him, and he says, hey, come check this out. I got this equipment. It's going to move all of this water so I can get my fields dry. I can plant. I can harvest on my own time frame. I said, great. And so I was next to this piece of equipment, and he says, Pastor, he called me Preacher. Preacher, you better stand back, because when we flip that switch, man, that water is coming flying. I said, okay. He flipped the switch. Guess what happened? Nothing. I said, man, that's what you get for buying that at an auction. You should know better. I mean, the same guy that said don't buy anything with a motor at an auction went and bought that at an auction. And he got his workers on it, and there's a problem with compression, but the main issue, no power source. It was not hooked up right. Now, everything was in place. All the pieces were there, but they weren't together in the right way. Now, in the Christian life, you say, well, I've got all the pieces, I've got all these things. You may look right, but if you don't have the power source, you're not going to last. You're not going to last in serving, but I'm talking about abiding, being with Christ. And let me say, it is an absolute blessing, being with Christ. Verse number 6 of John chapter 15, if you want to turn back there. Perhaps one of the most serious verses of the text. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. Unpacking the heart of Christ in relation to the vine is number 3, dealing with the warning of burnout. The warning of burnout. Sometimes in church or in church life, people get burnt out. Everywhere I've been, it happens. In ministry, guys I went to seminary with, my contemporaries, some of them are no longer in ministry, no longer serving in a vocational sense because they got burnt out. Church members get burnt out. The question is, why do we get burnt out? Sometimes it's because we serve too much. Sometimes people think, if I serve more, God will love me more, or they have this weird validation of works in relation to God. And that's not right. You say, Pastor, what does the church believe? Well, the expectations of the church, since you brought it up, we want you to grow and we want you to serve. We don't want you to serve and to serve. We want you to come, get poured into, come and worship, come and be a part of a group. We also want you to serve. But we have zero expectations of you doing nothing but serving. If that's your pattern of life right now, you're going to burn out. This is something I face periodically. That men in my life will say, hey, you need to slow down, you can't do anything. But sometimes we think the noble thing is to keep serving and doing more. And that's not what the text says. The text says abide. Now, sometimes people get burnt out because they enter into a new season of life. There's nothing wrong with saying, hey, I need to change the way I serve. I need to do something a little bit differently. I need to catch a breather, so to speak. Now, the expectation for the believer in the church is to grow and to serve. But we never want you to get burned out. We never want something to get in the way of your relationship with Christ. So what caused the burnout? Was it something with work? Is the problem at work? And sometimes the easy outlet is saying, hey, I'm going to cut off this aspect of church life. Or is there something going on in your family that's caused you to need to take a step back? Is it time? Is it money? What's going on to cause you to say, I've got to take a step back from serving? There's some serious issues we've got to talk about. We've got to be honest about these things. I don't want you to get burnt out. Just like you don't want me to be burnt out or the staff. You don't want us to burn out. God does not expect you to serve, and be perfect. There's only one perfect man in history, and we're not Christ. In verse 6, it didn't really deal with burnout as far as skipping out of work. It's a more dangerous form of burnout and being burned. Really, the warning is for those believers that aren't producing fruit, for their works to be burned up, to be cast aside because they have produced nothing. You say, well, Pastor, is this talking about losing our salvation, our position with Christ? Absolutely not. It is talking about what would happen if those branches are not producing fruit, they're not connected with the life source, and they become dead and withered. They're just cast aside. They're useless. My wife likes to keep tabs on me when I weed eat, just so you know, because we have many plants for many church members. By the way, keep those plants coming. We love it. I say we. My wife loves it. I love digging holes to plant them. Tell her I said that, by the way. And she always cautions me, be careful where you're weed eating. I said, babe, I'm always careful. And if I'm not, I blame it on my son. She's like, what happened to this? Our son. After first service, my oldest is like, Dad, why'd you say that? Somebody's got to take the fall, and it's not me. She always warns me, like, hey, don't cut my plants when you go out on the property. And so there was a day I said, you better come and you better point to where I'm going, and you better point out the plant because I can't tell the difference between those and weeds. And then there was a section where she planted some plants that were very obviously, those were domesticated plants. She planted those. They're blooming right now. There's no way I'm going to cut those down. And I was so careful cutting the weeds back. You remember those pumpkin plants I was talking about? Unbeknownst to me, there was a vine, pumpkin vine, where I weed-eated. And I just cut that vine. Uh-oh. That's what my son did. And so I said, Annie, you know, we were planning on having all these pumpkins, saving a small fortune this fall, not having to go buy these. I cut it. And she's like, it's okay, there's so many. We got pumpkin plants galore. Now, we're not going to sell you any because you can't afford the price we're going to put on it. And so I cut that vine. And she said, don't worry about it. And so I went and looked at it this week where I was at. And that vine is withered up. It's becoming dry. And it's absolutely useless. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take that dead branch. I'm going to pull it out. And I'm going to throw it right where it's at. It's close to my burn pile. And I'm going to take it and throw it and burn away because it's absolutely worthless to me. Without fruit, it's useless. And if branches aren't producing fruit, if they're not connected to the life source, they're dry and withered up, and God says, I have no need of those. That's the real warning of burnout. Christian, if you're not producing the fruit of the Spirit in your life, if you're not serving, if you're not being active for the King, guess what? You had the warning of burnout. Whom the Father loves, He disciplines. And to the ones He cares about, He will rebuke. He's either going to take you up or He's going to prune you one way. Listen, God wants fruit for your life. in verses 7 and 8. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. The fourth unpacking of the heart of Christ in this text is number 4, abiding and bearing fruit. The start of the verse in 7, the hypothetical if you abide in me. That's the question, that's the theory. If you abide in Christ, you're going to be blessed. And really, I should have reworded this point, really the benefits of abiding, but it's really bearing fruit. That if you abide with Christ, if you stay with him, if you're linked up with the life source and you find fulfillment in him, and he does the same thing with you, that's the cooperative agreement. There are 3 things that's going to happen if you abide with Christ. Number 1, your prayer life will change. As you're close with Christ, you sound and you look more like him, and your prayer life begins to alter. You begin to change, and the way you pray begins to change. And Scripture says in verse 7, ask whatever you wish, it'll be given to you. How fantastic is that? If you're so linked up with Christ, you're going to pray his heart, you're going to pray his will, and you're going to say, God, I want your will for my life, not my own. I want what you have in store for me. And the promise of Scripture in verse 7, when you pray and you ask, it will be given to you. Man, what would happen, First Baptist, if we claim that truth? On Wednesday nights, we pray for many needs. Right here in this room, we have Bible study and we pray. We pray for people, we pray for situations. What would happen if we prayed the heart of Christ and he gave us what we prayed for? Man, our prayer life would be different if we abide in Christ. Number 2, not just your prayer life, your life points directly to God himself. We would call this glorification. We glorify God by our lives, really by our fruit. When we abide with Christ, we're going to produce fruit, we're going to serve, we're going to be involved, we're going to be holy, and all of those things would point to God and give him the glory. It's not about us, it's about him. And then the third thing that happens, when you abide in Christ, you're producing fruit, you're living for him, it says that you'll prove to be his disciple. There'll be evidence on your life marked by fruit of the Spirit, by the way you serve. There'll be evidence that says you are a follower of God. Isn't that fantastic? Man, ask whatever you wish, it'll be given to you. You're going to glorify the Father and so prove, give evidence of being my disciple. Man, all of that through abiding. You say, Pastor, I thought this was supposed to be about serving. You see, abiding is the heart. And if you're abiding with Christ, out of the overflow, you're going to serve. Let me ask you, are you right with the Lord? Have you connected you, the branch? Have you connected with the vine, the life source? Have you surrendered your life to him, made him Lord and Savior? Surrender yourself through repentance. Have you taken steps of obedience after that? Maybe it's not those big decisions, but maybe you say, Pastor, I need to serve. I haven't been serving. I don't have fruit in my life. I need to step it up. Now, you may say, well, I've got things in my life. I can't do this and I can't do that. Listen, if you can pray, you can serve. If you can do something so small, you can serve. Maybe you need to say, I need to make a commitment to Christ right now to serve him in some way. Maybe you need to explore that option of what you can do. Maybe some of you are feeling burnout. Maybe from church. If so, you need to come and talk to me. We need to figure this out, what we can do. Maybe it's not burnout from church. Maybe you're frustrated with work or there's some family situations, or there's something else going on, please don't make decisions when you're frustrated. Maybe you need to pray for somebody that's going through a situation in life. Maybe you need to rededicate your life today. You know, before we come to the Lord's table, partake of communion, we always evaluate ourselves. Maybe you say, I haven't been serving like I ought. I haven't been serving in the right attitude. What a great time to repent and come back to God. Maybe it's been a while. Maybe you hadn't been living that life like God wanted you to. And God wants you to come back to Him. Come back to the heart of Christ. Abide in Him. After we take communion together, we'll have an invitation. If you need to make a decision or you want to pray, please do that. And let me say this. If you want to talk after the service about burnout or serving, and it's a little more sensitive if you don't want to do it in a public setting, please come and talk to me. Talk to one of our deacons. Talk to one of our pastoral staff. Whatever it is, man, abide in Him. I'm going to pray, and as I pray, men, if you will come up forward to help us serve communion. Father, we thank You for today. We thank You that we know the heart of Christ, that You've clearly shown it to us. And Father, may we be connected. May we just simply abide. And Father, the expectation You have for us is to produce fruit, not for salvation, but because we have been saved. Father, may the goal of our lives be to abide with You, not to serve. May we simply be with You and foster a relationship. Father, we pray we take inventory of our souls as we come to Your table. Bless us as we participate in this event of worship. Think about Your sacrifice, but also the challenge to be with You. Father, would You bless the hearts of the hearers? We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.